Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Well, they often say some people can talk to animals, you know, Dr. Harry Cooper, but someone else we believe can do exactly that is Chad Staples from Mogo Wildlife Park. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, how are you?
Very good. So you guys got some exciting news regarding this weekend and Mogo Zoo.
Yeah, mate, it is an exciting one. We're marking the reopening, obviously, after everything from the bushfires. We were closed for a good couple of months. And so last year we commemorated it when we opened and we threw a huge community day, and we've decided to make that an annual event. So it's this Saturday.
Yeah, so people that want to go along, tickets are normally, what, $38 for an adult to Mogo Zoo? Bargain price for Saturday, though, isn't it?
Just a little cheaper, $10.
Yeah.
$10, how good is that? To just hand over a note and go, yep, that's it, I've got entry covered.
Yeah, well, like you said, the fires had a huge impact on you and the rest of the team there at Mogo Zoo and the wildlife too, and then we had COVID-19, so a lot of big events impacting the zoo. But what big changes have happened there at the park over the past 12 months?
Look, I think the biggest impact is the fact that wildlife parks are living, breathing organisms, and we just kept moving forward. We had some of the most amazing births in 2020, and for that alone, it was perfect, just for that sense of what's next. You know, we went through some hard times, granted, but let's look forward, and I think that was the best thing that came out of it, was some new babies.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We're always following you guys on Facebook as well. I can see a picture of some little red pandas at the zoo. Tell us about these two.
Well, these two just recently been paired up, so we're hoping these two are going to deliver baby red pandas soon enough. The male that's got the much darker face.
Okay, yeah.
His name's Rohan, and it's the beautiful girl, Dorje, with the lighter face. So they're going to have the most adorable babies if love is in the air for them.
Okay, yeah. So how do you help facilitate this? You put some, you know, light some candles and have some, you know,
yeah,
rose petals around.
How do you
around?
Set the mood how for red pandas?
Mate, the best thing is to stay out of their way. We've introduced them now. We've given them everything they need, and we'll let them talk red panda talk, and we'll stay out of the way.
That's awesome, mate. So what is happening on the day, on the community day? Anything particular, anything special that doesn't usually happen on normal days? Or
not really. Look, I think the biggest thing is just that almost commemoration of a good event when we reopen. And so that's why we obviously throw it open for almost a donation. We will be having a small ceremony in the morning with a few dignitaries and business people in the area. And again, just around that commemoration of the event. But for the most part, we just let the wildlife park do what it does, and we let the animals be here, and we interact with them during the day, and that's what will make it special.
I mean, the animals are in the park now, Chad, but when we had the fires, some of them were living in your home.
Yeah,
how have you gone over the past year? Do you have, like, the empty nest syndrome that some parents get when the kids leave the house?
Well, I'm very lucky that the house is actually in the zoo, but right now I actually have a baby lion cub with me there. So it's very hard to have an empty nest syndrome at the moment.
What do you do when you've got, like, a baby lion cub? You put newspaper down? What happens?
Yeah.
There's no toilet training of a wild animal, so she goes where she wants to go. But thankfully, she does have a spot that she has chosen as hers.
Well, this Saturday is when Mogo Zoo is having their community day. Like Chad said, $10 for a ticket, but they only have limited tickets, so make sure you jump online and secure yours now and get along and support Mogo Wildlife Park. Thank you so much, Chad.
Thank you, mate.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Down in Melbourne at the moment, along the Yarra there on South Bank, they're dealing with a bit of a problem, Hutsy. The promenade there's just kind of expanded out. The restaurants have got a little more room now.
Okay.
And the problem they're having is with cyclists. They're riding along the promenade and they're causing a bit of a hazard for pedestrians.
Causing a ruckus.
Yeah, some of the pedestrians are getting quite upset about it. Like this one guy, he says, like, having these cyclists buzzing around you is like, you know, what it was like to play with Hopewadi back in the day in rugby league.
Coming from behind, you don't know they're coming from behind, so they can give you a fright sometimes.
Yeah,
that's the general thing about that. People, when someone's behind you, you generally can't see them.
Exactly,
unless you're an alien or an owl.
So all these cyclists, the speed limit there is 10 kilometres an hour. And some cyclists are just blasting through on their way to work.
The massive calves, and they can just, like, smash it down the pavement.
Exactly. And so they've decided, the council in Melbourne, to crack down on the speeding cyclists.
Police are using speed guns to catch out speedsters. In just 2 days, 120 cyclists and scooter riders were caught out.
The quickest that we've recorded has been 35 kilometres per hour. which is quite quick.
That's 25 k's over the limit. That's really quick.
Is that, well, you know, if you're driving a car and you go that far over the limit, like you'd lose your license.
You'd probably lose your
away.
License, yeah.
What happens with the push bike? Your bike gets confiscated.
They take your helmet off you or something.
Yeah.
They take your spokey dokies.
Your bell.
I don't know. I'm like, and what happens with the police when it comes to this? Like if they're on the radar gun, right? And
yeah.
They go, oh, they clock you doing like, you know, they clock you speeding. And what, they ride up after you on their bike with the siren going, woo, woo, woo. Yeah. They pull over, and then they pull over. Do you realize how fast you were going there, sir? Oh, I don't know. I think it was like 10, 11 k's an hour. You were going 15 kilometers an hour.
I'd like to think it's more like Road Rash or Mad Max, where they've got like a chain and just whoosh, where they ride up next to you and put stick in the spokes. Or
they send out the patrol bikes and they put out like the tiny road spikes in front of them, things like that. And I don't know what sort of excuse people are coming up with as well, because you could face fines upwards of $1,600.
Oh, my God.
They'll let you
huge.
Off with a warning the first time, and then afterwards they're going to smash you with fines. So this is all in a bid to curb these speeding cyclists. I mean, mind you, there'd be some cyclists that would have a good reason for going over 10 k's an hour.
Yeah, what's a good reason? What would you like?
I don't know. Maybe if you were dinking your wife on the front of the bike and you're rushing her to hospital because she'd just gone into labour.
That one counts.
My wife's about to have a baby. She's riding on the handlebars. And then they give you a police escort on their bike to the hospital. That'd be great.
That'd be fantastic.
I mean, down here on the far south coast, though, we've got pretty wide open spaces, so it's not really a problem with the cyclists.
Yeah.
I would argue the main problem we have with people speeding around pedestrians is our older friends on the mobility scooters.
Oh, the scooters just tearing it up.
They're a
See
bloody
some
menace.
People hooting around with, you know, the wind blowing in their hair and all sorts of...
I was walking through Sapphire Marketplace the other day and a guy like almost hit me, like blasting past on his electric scooter. I'm like, whoa, mate, slow down. And he just turned around and said,
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
And he just took off. Like, unbelievable.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
There was a period of time when you were growing up, you went to like a private school or a Catholic school?
During primary school, I went to a Catholic school, yeah, years 1 to 7.
Strict rules at this school?
Yeah, I got in trouble once because my socks weren't up. You basically had like to wear like little sock garters like under the fold of your sock to keep them up at all times. It was part of the school dress code. And I got sent to the principal's office to basically get the cane.
Ooh.
Because I didn't have my socks up one day on parade. And he was like, why don't you have your socks up? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, and in my mind, I was just like, Jesus wore sandals. Why are you guys so fixated on having your socks up? Jesus didn't even wear socks.
This is
why
true.
Do you have this outlandish dress code?
I can't believe the cane was still around when you were at school. Imagine you'd be spewing if you were like the person who finished school and it's like the next year they got rid of the cane. You'd be like,
yeah,
darn
I know.
It, I missed
that would be
it.
Rough.
But a private school in Sydney is making all the headlines in the eastern suburbs, Waverley College. They're not picking on the shoes or the socks or not even the cane anymore, surprisingly. But it's all to do with the haircut you're sporting when you're at the school.
Okay.
They've put a ban on the mullet.
Yeah, I know a lot of schools, especially the private ones, they do have strict rules around the haircut. And I think for boys' hair, it can't go anywhere below the collar.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it used to be back when I was at school. So I imagine the mullet automatically ruled out because it's, you know, business at the front, party at the back.
Yeah, it's like instant disqualification at this stage. So the deputy principal has told students that they will need to take a trip to the barber if they arrived at school with said mullet.
So it's just the mullet that's been outlawed.
Just the mullet.
Man buns get a free pass. Yeah. You can have your hair curled up like that.
Or what about that design that was going around a few years ago where you'd shave like half a side of your head and then your hair would be over the other way or something? That was like
the faux hawk sort of thing.
The faux hawk. That was a big thing back in the day as well. But basically he's saying in a statement that the mullet ban would be a lesson in learning how rules, guidelines and expectations are necessary for growth.
That's
a bit rough. The mullet's all about growth.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, this is a bit silly, isn't it? Basically,
and there's some great men and women
I know
that have sported the mullet, you know, in times gone by. Like one of our greatest singers of all time, John Farnham.
Exactly right.
Well known for his mullet.
Yeah, and for the younger people out there, well, Miley Cyrus has been sporting the mullet the last 12 months. Troy Sivan.
Yeah, it's coming back. And there's so many sports stars as well that are rocking mullets these days.
I feel
days.
Like it's a little bit rough saying what haircuts you can and can't have as well. What is this, North Korea, where there's like 12 styles to pick from and you're like, I guess I'll take the bowl cut.
I guess I'll have the Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. It's a little bit rough, especially when this timing of it as well, because this weekend, Mullet Fest is on in Curry Curry.
Ah, right.
This thing is absolutely huge. You always see, like, some people with the fanciest mullets in the world, or Moulay. I don't know if they get that upper class, like Tajay and Target when they describe the mullets as well. But I'm sure at that festival, at Mullet Fest in Curry Curry, that, you know, the motto would be, like you said earlier, you know, like, business up front, party at the back. Unfortunately, though, when it comes to Waverley College, the new motto is business up front, suspension at the back.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.